So I would like to first to thank the organizer for inviting me. So let me first start with some advertising about short noise. So it is well known since a Landauer proposal that the conductance measures the transmission, and thus the average value of the current gives only properties about the wave nature of the electrons. But there has been recent interest in microscopic physics and partial quantum Hall effect physics in order to measure the current fluctuation. And in fact, this current fluctuation arises from the granularity of the carriers, and noise, or short noise, that is the noise out of equilibrium, can probe the particle properties. And so short noise has been shown to be able to probe the quantum statistics of the carrier, also the quantum partition of a carrier, which is scattered by a quantum point contact, for example, in a conductor, or by a disorder. And also, noise can be used in order to probe the quantum of charge associated with the quasi-particle of the system. And so this is on this aspect that I will focus today, in order to show that within short noise, so we can access the charge of the quasi-particle excitation in the fractional quantum Hall regime. So you see that there is a lot of physics to do with short noise, so please buy short noise equipment and sell a short noise theory. So there is a class of one-dimensional quantum system or low-dimensional quantum system, such as the quantum Hall effect, for which the ground state is such that electrons fractionally filled the quantum state of the system which we will have without interaction. So this is the case, for example, of the fractional quantum Hall effect. So this is the quantum number here. And so this happens because in order to minimize the interaction, so the electrons try to obey a kind of super Pauli principle, in which instead of excluding one quantum state, so they prefer to exclude, for example, three quantum states. And in this system, so the elementary excitation is not, for example, to remove one electron from the ground state, but simply to empty a quantum state. And as this quantum state are fractionally filled, so this leaves a fractional excitation in the system. So the best candidate in order to see this fractional charge is the quantum Hall effect. And in this system, so there is two ways to measure experimentally fractional charge. That is, there is two different kinds of measurements. So there is a measurement which is an equilibrium measurement in which we can use a capacitor, and because the free energy changes discontinuously each time, so you have to go from one state to the next state, so it is possible to measure the amount of charge which is necessary to go from one quantum ground state to the next quantum ground state. So this is, as I understand the previous experiment, which is very nice and has been discussed by Vladimir Goldman. And there is also another proposal, which is to probe the fractional charge associated with the quasi-particle. So quasi-particle is an excitation above the ground state, and of course to do that, we need to do an experiment which is out of equilibrium. So, and the idea, and which was proposed by Charlie Kahn and Matthew Fisher in the context of the Luttinger liquid description of fractional quantum Hall states, is the following. So you have H states in the fractional regime. So, and here I have represented the distribution of the incoming particle here. So this is the equilibrium distribution, because this is emitted by a reservoir which is at equilibrium. And so the scatter has the effect of mixing, so these two equilibrium populations, so which are shifted by a chemical potential difference mu1 minus mu2, which is equal to the voltage here. And then we end up with, for the outgoing state, a non-equilibrium distribution. And if the coupling is very weak, so this non-equilibrium distribution contains few holes, that is empty quantum states, for which we can associate a fractional charge. So, and if we look at this in the time domain, so what we will get in the limit of Wiskatrin is a Poisson flow of quasi-particles. And if we measure the short noise, so we can have a direct measure the charge of the short noise, of the quasi-particle. So, but in order to better understand what happens in this regime and how noise can measure the quasi-particle, let's first go back to the problem of the noise in a one-channel, say, Fermi-liquid quantum conductor. So, and what do we expect? And because it is useful in order to understand what we do in the fractional regime. So, it's well known since the beginning of the century that if you have a Poisson emission, a Poisson transfer of charge E between two conductors, the mean square deviation of the fluctuation of the mean square deviation of the current will be proportional to the average of the current. So this expresses a Poisson's law for the emission of the electrons of the carriers, and from which Walter Schottky so deduces that the spectral density, that is the mean square deviation of the current fluctuation per unit bandwidth, is equal to 2 times the charge of the carrier times the current. So you see that in this regime we have a proportionality with the current, and here we have a prefactor which measures the charge of the carrier. So what happens in a one-dimensional quantum conductor? So imagine we have a one-channel quantum conductor with a transmission P. And in that case, we do not have a Poisson's law for the transfer of carrier between one reservoir to the reservoir. But in fact, we have a binomial law. An incident carrier can be either transmitted or reflected. In fact, the Poisson's law, of course, is the limit of a binomial law for a weak transmission. So we can use a nice picture which has been proposed by Thierry Martin and Rolf Landauer, which is the following. So instead of looking at the incoming pen wave emitted by the left reservoir, we can make some unitary transformation for this pen wave in the energy range EV, and then build orthogonal wave packets which are separated in time by this characteristic time scale. And because we use energy which are below the Fermi energy here, all these wave packets are occupied by one electron and only one electron. This means that there is a very correlated flow of incident electrons, in fact a noiseless flow of incident electrons, because all these wave packets are occupied. So what is the resulting noise? So we see that an electron in wave packet can be either transmitted or reflected. So if we measure the mean square fluctuation of the population of the transmitted set, will give rise to the fluctuation of the current. So we have the binomial law result. So this is the average value 1 minus the average value. And we can see that this has a Poisson's law with a reduction factor which is 1 minus t, because this is equal to t. Therefore, we can say that the shot noise in general case of for general transmission is given by the Schottky value with a reduction factor 1 minus t. And so this can be can be extended to a multiple channel for a general quantum conductor. And what we get always in the quantum conductor is that we have a shot noise which is given by the Poisson noise plus multiplied by reduction factor, which is always smaller than 1, and which expresses the partitioning of electrons between multiple quantum states. And this can be also extended to finite temperature, when here we recognize the Johnson-Nyquist noise, where the voltage bias is 0, and this hyperbolic tangent is a function which allows the crossover between the Johnson-Nyquist noise and the shot noise. Okay, so this can be tested experimentally. I'll just show you two graphs before going into the part of the fractional quantum Hall effect regime. So the idea is the following. So we have a quantum point contact, and the quantum point contact allows the selection of the quantum mode one by one. So by measuring the conductance, we can have a direct measure of the transmission, and if we know the transmission, if we can measure the shot noise, we can compare the shot noise experimentally measured with the prediction. So what we expect, if we write here, if we plot the shot noise measure normalized to the Poisson's noise, that is the reduction factor, so what we expect is to have a reduction 1 minus T1 for the first mode, and this kind of reduction for the second mode, etc. And so this is what we can see in the sample. So we have here the conductance versus the gate voltage. So this is the quantum point contact. So we have the quantization. And here we have plotted the noise as a function of the bias voltage, that is the current or the bias voltage, for a different value of the transmission, which correspond to 1/6, 1/4, 1/2, and 3/4. So here, the noise is expressed in terms of noise temperature, because in this unit you can plot all data in the same frame. And also in this unit, if you plot the bias voltage in unit of temperature, so the slope here is just the reduction factor. So these two relations are the same, just a question of rewriting this in different units. So you see that when the transmission is very low, so the slope is close to 1, but when we increase the transmission, so the noise started to be very small. And indeed, when we plot all these slopes versus the transmission or the conductance, we see that we have a good agreement, okay, between the data and the prediction for the partition noise in a quantum conductor. So you see that in one channel quantum conductor, or in so the noise is just due to the partition noise of the electron because of the noiseless flow of the incoming electrons due to the Fermi statistics. So how can we use this in order to measure the noise in the fractional quantum Hall effect? So the idea is the following. So this is the idea proposed by Charlie Kane and Matthew Fisher. So let's go back to this formula, which is the noise for one channel quantum conductor first in zero magnetic field. So we have two limiting regimes. The first limiting regime is the regime with very weak transmission. So this means that we have a high barrier, and we have Poissonian transmission of electrons between these two conductors, which are nearly which are disconnected. So what we can transfer is electrons, okay, and the short noise is given by this. In fact, you see that we extract electrons from this conductor, and then we put electrons in the next conductor. So there is another limit, which is the weak barrier limit. In that case, the scatter make only a very few perturbations of the Fermi surface of the system. And then what we can excite is the quasi-particle close to the Fermi energy. So in that case, in the limit of weak barrier, we see that we have, a Poissonian flow of holes which are transmitted by the system. And because we have a Poissonian flow of holes transmitted by the system, so we can express the current of these Poissonian holes. So this is in fact the same as the backscattering current, IB, and you see that the noise is given by the Schottky value for the current of these poles multiplied by the charge of this hole, because of course here we have an uncorrelated system. So this is the good way in order to probe the quasi-particle on the system. So we can do that, of course, in the case of the integral quantum Hall regime. So we have the same picture. So here, this is a quantum point contact which is used to reflect the edge state and then to create the barrier here, or the strong barrier with the weak barrier. And of course, we will have the same formula for the short noise with the limiting case, the case for the strong barrier, that is the Poissonian transmission of electrons, and the case of the weak barrier, which is the Poissonian transmission of holes in the system. But in the quantum Hall effect, a hole related to what is a hole in the bulk of the system. So this corresponds to the empty quantum state, and in the quantum Hall system, an empty quantum state is simply to make a hole in the wave function which has the size of the flux quantum. And it is also interesting to see that instead of looking at the current fluctuation, so we look at the voltage fluctuation across the system. And we express this voltage fluctuation in terms of the backscattering voltage, that is the voltage drops across the point contact. You see that we have, in fact, a relation which is dual from this one, where we have exchanged the charge with the flux quantum. And what we can interpret this in by saying that we have a voltage fluctuation which corresponds to the Poissonian, the transfer of flux quanta across the system. So we can have the same picture in the fractional quantum Hall regime. Okay, so in the strong barrier regime, weak transmission. So what we expect to transfer, as Charlie Kane said this morning, is that to transfer only electrons because it's forbidden to create this quasi-particle outside the system. So we also expect to have a non-linear characteristic of the transfer, because when we transfer one electron, these electrons have to find, say, three holes, and then because of energy conservation, so we have some non-linearities in the IV characteristics. So this is related to the Dillinger liquid properties. And in the weak Bass-Catrin regime, so what we will have is also a Poissonian flow of holes, but here, what is a hole in the system? A hole is to make to realize a hole of the size of flux quantum on the system, and we know that this is equivalent to empty a quantum state, and as there is a fractional filling of the quantum state, this corresponds to a charge which is 1/3 or 1/m in general. So what we expect in this limit is to have the Schottky value for the Poissonian tunneling of holes or quasi holes, which charge, say, 1/3 for filling factor 1/3, where an IB is the current of the transmitted holes. And also, it is interesting to rewrite this in terms of voltage fluctuation, and we see that again we have the Poissonian transfer of flux quanta across the system.
But why is it not 1/3? You have an equation I what equals E squared of A to B, it should be 1/3 in there.
Why is there 1/3 here?
No, next line, that on the right.
Oh, yes, no, yes, sorry, this is a mistake. Yes, sorry. Okay, what are the requirements in order to see this experimentally? So the first thing in order to observe this is to achieve a very large sensitivity, because the signal is much smaller. And because we have to put excitation in the system which are much smaller than the gap, which is a few Kelvin. And a second important thing is to try to realize a good quasi-particle reservoir, that is to have a large length of the mesa in order to be sure that quasi-particles are formed in the system. And the much more important things is to check that the tunneling is not diffusive. Because we may observe a reduction of noise, which is not due to the fact that we have a reduced charge, but because we have temporally incoherent hopping of quasi-particles or electrons in the system. So, and in the experiment, what we do schematically is the following. So we have here the edge state. So we have the incident electrons or quasi-particle here, which are either transmitted or reflected. So this gives rise to anti-corrected fluctuation of the current. And what we do experimentally is that we make a correlation measurement between this anti-corrected fluctuation. So the first check is to check that the tunneling is no hopping occur in the system. So this is the picture that we may have because of the weak disorder in the system. So even in the very low disorder system, we have some potential fluctuation which may give rise to such a multiple tunneling of the quasi-particle of the electrons. And if we have such a configuration, so we may expect that the Schott noise is smaller than the Schottky value. So in order to be sure that we do not have this kind of things, what we did is the following. So we found the condition in which the potential fluctuation gives rise to two paths for tunneling. Yeah. And so this creates some resonant tunneling condition for the transfer of the quasi-particles or the electrons to the system. And if we can, so this is what we observe, what we deplete But we measure the conductance and we deplete after the last one for plateau. So we see that we observe some resonance here, but you see that resonance are not perfect resonance. But if we play with both gate voltage, which are independent, so it is possible to make these two transmissions equal here, and in order to have a perfect resonance. So you see now here that the resonance increase to a unit transmission and reach the plateau 1/3. So as the resonance is able to reach the unit transmission, this means that the tunneling is coherent, and in addition that this will tell us that if we remain in the regime of transmission close to 1, so we can safely use this relation. Another feature is the nonlinear tunneling. So this is related to the Luttinger liquid properties of the fractional edge state. So this is the resonance at 0 bias, and this is what we observe for the differential conductance when we increase the bias. So you see the resonance becomes larger, and you see also that the conductance becomes to be recovered. So this is something which is expected from Luttinger liquid. And this is also the differential conductance versus bias voltage. When we fix the gate voltage close to the resonance, so we see that we have a decrease, but this decrease is something which is expected also for Fermi liquid, but which is not expected is this variation here when we move away from the resonances. And we can make a very simple a model using the perturbative model using the density offset for the quasi particles, and you see that we can reproduce weather well for this structure. So, but we can reproduce it only if we use the density of set quasi-particles. So this gives us confidence in the fact that we are certainly in the regime of tunneling of quasi-particles. So now I come to the noise measurement. So the last check is to show that shot noise appear with char 1 for fin factor 1. So this is what you can see here. So here we are in the condition where we see in factor 1 close to point contact. So this is the current situation versus the bass cutting voltage. And so these are the data, and the dashed line and the dashed curve correspond to the fit with the shot noise for fermion particle, including the T times 1 of ST correction. And you see that there is a very good agreement with charge E. So what do we observe in the fractional regime? So this is here the current noise versus the backscattering current. So we see that we have a linear variation of the noise with the backscattering current. So this is expected from the Schottky formula. And so what is the slope? So if we compare the slope with what is expected for electrons and fractional charge, so you see that there is a good agreement with fractional charge. Sorry? Oh, yes, wait, there is some deviation. Yes. So I will say a word after that. So this is because in the experimental procedure, so we have to keep the differential conductance constant. And in fact, when we increase the bass scattering current, so we have to slightly increase the reflection coefficient. And in that case, we expect to have some correlation because we are no longer in the Poisson regime so we expect to have some correlation which will reduce the noise. I think this is what it is expected for fermions. So another important check is to look at the crossover between the Johnson-Nyquist noise and the Poisson noise. So this is what it is expected in the Poisson regime. So the shot noise should be given by the thermal noise plus a contribution which expresses the crossover between shot noise and thermal noise. But at the difference from what we have in the case of electrons, or say one channel Fermi liquid, so what we expect is to have a crossover which appears at a voltage bias which is 3 times the voltage bias for electron. So the reason is the following. So the crossover occurs when the chemical potential difference between the two reservoirs is comparable to the thermal energy. So the chemical potential difference is given by the charge times the voltage in the system. So as the charge is smaller by a factor 3, so this thermal crossover occurs at a value which is 3 times the value that we may expect if we were looking at electrons. And so the last result I would like to show is a result which has been obtained in the previous sample I discussed, and also another sample. And so this is about the correction due to the fact that we do experiment not always in the Poisson regime. So how to characterize the Poisson regime? This is characterized by the ratio of the backscattering current divided by the current of the incoming electrons. So when this ratio goes to zero, this means that we are within the Poisson regime. That is very rare tunneling event. But as I say, when we increase the backscattering current for technical reasons, so we have to keep the differential conductance constant, and this in order to do that, we have to increase this ratio here. So this means that you see that there is some deviation here, and the points become slower than the red line, which corresponds to the pure Schottky noise. And this is also observed here in the second sample, so we have the same tendency here. And so we can try to use the correction for fermions. So we can say we know the correction that we may expect it, at least if the quasi-particle were fermions. So this correction should be to replot this data by replacing the backscattering current by IB times Y minus R. So this is what corresponds to the open circle. But you see that this correction is too big, and so these points go on the other side of the line. So it seems that the noise that we observe is slightly larger than the noise that we would expect if the quasi-particle were fermions. So let me conclude. So we have shown that short noise can be used in order to determine the quasi-particle on the fractional regime. And I would like to emphasize that a similar result has been obtained by the Weissmann group. And they draw a similar conclusion. And I think what will be very important in the future is to try to clarify what is the influence of the statistics and also the influence of the leads. Is it important to have a good quasi-particle reservoir or not? And what is also, in order to compare with exact theory, I'm thinking to the theory by Paul Fenley, Andreas Suvich, and Hubert Thaler. It will be nice to try to include the fact that we have a resonance instead of a simple scatter in the system.
Question.
Yes. The noise for the charge 1/3 case, which in this case is your signal, is 3 times smaller, so you expect your error bars to be bigger, right? They were bigger. The amount by which they're bigger for this case just due to the fact that your signal is smaller?
The error bar are consistent. The error bar comes from the calculation of the noise we expect from the noise temperature of the amplifiers. Okay? And so this is.
You're getting closer.
Yes, and the noise we observe, that is the scatter we observe here, corresponds roughly to this value. Yes, that's
Just a comment. This fraction charge that you mentioned is actually property of the boundary. The difference between fraction charge and boundary is both in the Bokut scope. The boundary can be extended because the theory has no gap. Right? Now, given that it's a property of the boundary, if you put two boundaries with different Kirch fractions together, we get the six sample state. 1/3 in Newton's 1, or 1/5 in Newton's 1. In the first case, Newton's 1/3 and 1, the strongly coupled limit will have a convective from half, and the fractional charge will detect by looking at backscattering of the current deviation from the strong. Current would also be S equals 2 E over 2 times I.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this seems to indicate that the fractional charge is the improvement is actually existing only on the boundary. And it gets affected by coupling two boundaries together strongly. So, in this case, the conductors and the charge are the same. Now, I think there's an issue to be resolved here as well as first, whether this charge is actually a velocity by the particle, which I think it's not. It's leaving only on the boundary. And second, that in two fractions, like the fifth, you have to resolve whether or not you mentioned one fifth or two fifths.
Yes, I agree with the fact that probably what we measure is the charge at the boundaries, and the toy model that you quoted with the work with you and Nancy Sandler and Eduardo is a good example that it seems that this system, when you put the system u equal one third, there is some kind of proximity effect which gives rise to charge E over 2 for the outgoing state, at least. That is the way I understand the system. And the noise, which measures the charge, so the noise measures this charge E over 2. But this charge E over 2 on the edge are different from the charge on the bulk on both systems. So in that case, a different pin factor,
right.
There is some...
the experiment is consistent with the charge of one third, but that is the charge at least on the boundary.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course, in the case of same phi factor, there is no question. Sorry.
What's your question?
For new equal one? Yes, I showed the result for new equal
one.
Yeah,
he showed it.
Yes.
Yes.
No, we have not measured the other fini factor yet. The Weitzmann group had some results at 2/5 and seems that they measure 1/5, but so they are not confident yet. Sorry?
Is it difficult to measure that?
I think it's much more difficult because I think in that case the potential fluctuation will be relatively large, and I think it's difficult to really be sure that we do not have multiple or hopping tunneling, which means that we may have additional reduction of the noise due to this multiple tunneling without the charge. At least what may be interesting is to really see that we always see noise which is lower than one fifth. That would be interesting.
That space is important because it's nice to see an example where the
yes.
charge is different from the
fifth. Yes, the two fifth is really really an interesting factor to look at.
Any more questions?